For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe.
And I'm Roger Berman.
And you're listening to
Works for Us,
where we talk to people about what works for them in their relationships and, of course, what doesn't. Okay, so today we're talking to one of the most incredible, romantic, and collaborative couples we've had on the show yet. One half of the HGTV darlings, the Property Brothers, Drew Scott and his incredible wife, Linda Scott. Together, they've always shared a passion for giving back with home, wellness, and environmental awareness as their major focus. They have volunteered with organizations such as Habitat for Humanity, an environmental media association, and through his work on HGTV, Drew has helped more than 450 families across America find and create their family homes. These experiences have reinforced their belief that one of the most valuable ways to turn passion into action is to start right at home. It's with that philosophy that Drew approaches his quarterly lifestyle magazine, Reveal, which he started with his brother, Jonathan, and published by Meredith Corporation. Family is fundamental to everything Linda and Drew do, and in 2020, they launched At Home with Linda and Drew Scott, a podcast featuring candid interviews with leaders and experts, including Ashlyn and Philip Cousteau, Jay Shetty, Jonathan Adler, and Simon Doonan, and Rain Wilson and Holiday Reinhorn. Their goal is to inspire others to have their own meaningful conversations at home and for people to see that home isn't just about where we live, it's how we live. But their love story is a true and total chef's kiss. I'm honestly a little bit obsessed with their stunning romance, so I'd actually just like to go ahead and dive right in. Welcome to the show, Linda and Drew. So before we get into your whole relationship, because as you know or may not know, but works for us, we're really focusing on relationships, all kinds of relationships, husband, wives, siblings,
best friends,
mother, daughter, you name it.
And it's always nice when we have a twofer.
Yeah.
A twofer meaning your business and relationship.
And we're besties and we're married. So, you know, there it's hitting a lot of angles. So
it's like, that's
like
triple threat, you guys.
Threefer.
You're like us.
Similar to us. I want to hear how you guys met because we really like to start from the beginning. And I think this is a pretty interesting story. I've heard a couple little itty bitty tidbits, but I want to hear it from you.
Our story, it's in the fashion world. So this is handy. You know, it kind of ties in nicely.
See?
So Linda, I was working, this is the very beginning of Property Brothers. Our shows hadn't, they just started airing, hadn't really kind of taken off yet. And we were asked by our wardrobe sponsor for the show if we were willing to come be their celebrity models at Toronto Fashion Week.
Obviously.
And so, obviously, you know, look at this. I mean, seriously. And so we went to do this and we you know, doing the runway. And Linda was actually asked by her best friend, who was the DJ, asked if she can come help out at the event. And so she was there and I happened to see her backstage and she was talking with some people and she just had such a fun, positive energy, just beautiful. And so I'm like, I want to talk to this girl. Who's this girl? So what can I do to impress her? And my big pickup line was, she was carrying a bottle of water. I'm like, where'd you get the water? That was my line. And she responded, because I was holding pizza, and she responded saying,
Where'd you get that pizza?
So we fell in love.
I'll give you some water if you give me some pizza.
Exactly. I was very hungry and I needed food.
And I was thirsty. Not really. I just wanted to talk to her. And so we chatted a little bit at the event. And I mean, obviously she saw me strutting on stage. She was like,
who could resist this sexy male model? She must have thought you hit the lottery that night.
Yeah.
You know what the weirdest thing is? The first thing I said when I saw him on the runway, I said to my sister, because my sister was there with us, and I was like, they're so tall and they have such big heads. It was not like, I don't know why that was the first thought.
I do have a giant head. So my brother has a bigger head than me. But so I saw her there, but then there's an after party. And so I was hoping to see her at the after party and then I didn't see her. And so I was all worried because I thought I missed my chance that maybe she wasn't going. And then across the room, I saw her talking to the DJ guy, and I didn't know if she was with him or what it was, but I'm like, I have to make my move now. I'm not going to wait. So I want to get to know this girl. So I walk over and I walk right up in between the two of them, and I turn my back to her and I start talking to the DJ, and they were standing right in front of each other. So I was uncomfortably close to them as I went between them and was talking to him. And Linda
and
was like,
and all I see is this wall of a person.
Yeah.
So and I just
apparently a large head.
So I did that purposely just to create a little bit of a shock to Linda and then just be like, ah, just joking. Nice to meet you. Turned out that the DJ was actually the boyfriend at the time of the girl who asked us from the place that was our wardrobe sponsor. And then the funny thing is, she is now our wardrobe sponsor. She's our stylist. She does everything for us, from red carpets to commercials.
Amazing.
And the DJ DJed our wedding, and they've become our besties. So,
aww,
nice.
I love that. That's a great story.
So we owe it to them, mm-hmm, that we're together.
That's a really good story, you guys.
And your smooth moves.
We've heard a lot of stories.
So I think
that's a really good one.
Yeah, so I think we heard your impression that the first time you saw him, you thought he had a big head. But I want to hear what your impression of her was.
Well, honestly,
first impression.
She's seeing her across the room, I can answer that.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, she is beautiful. Linda is so stunning, but it was actually almost like an energy that I saw. The way she was laughing and the way she was just captivating the people she was talking to. And that's what I noticed first. And I do remember thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, she's different. I need to get to know her. And that's why when I thought maybe I missed my chance, then I saw her again. I'm like, I'm not missing my chance a second time. And aww, so I went in there with my move. So,
and so what was your real first date after that? Did you have a proper first date? And if so,
well, he
can
said
you
he
tell
made
us
his
about...
moves. I want to hear the moves first.
What no, was, the move was that he went in between the DJ and yeah, her and
got
and then
it.
Started
understood.
Talking.
Okay, I just made, wanted but, to make sure I didn't miss.
But clearly,
anything.
You're yeah, like, hey, hi, I'm Drew, and like, do you want to meet up? So like, there must have been,
so this
like,
is the
or
thing.
Did you just take her out of the place right then and there? Which would have been a baller move.
You know, you can't act like you're hitting on someone. You need to make it a comfortable space for them to get to know you.
He was very smooth. We talked the entire night, like friends.
Another entire night talk. Did you stay up all night?
Well, the entire night at the event. So we were talking about volleyball and board games and hot chocolate and things to do around Toronto. And then at the end of the night, we were about to catch a cab home. And Drew and his brother were like, oh, yeah, we'll drive you home. And we're like, oh, sure, okay. And I remember getting home that night and thinking, I'm so glad we're alive. Like, we just got into a car with two strangers who are
with
so much bigger
heads
than
yeah,
us.
Yeah, they're just tall like, guys.
I'm clearly just glad we're alive. Like, we could have been one of those, like, crime stories. I would never do that now.
This was our, so this is the thing, our first date. So I'm from Vancouver, and she was in Toronto here, so I didn't really know the city that well. And so when
aren't
we got
aren't they
together,
kind of like rivals? Like, not rivals, but I feel like when I say, like when I ask a friend from Vancouver like if they're from Toronto, they're like not yeah, okay with that.
It's like LA, New York.
Like, it is literally like LA and New York. Yeah, there's the low, the sort of laid back pace of LA compared to the busy, busy New York, Toronto. And so our first date, we were supposed to go, because she was telling us about this place called The Distillery. It's sort of like old factory grounds that were turned into a really cool hub for small businesses. And we went to a hot chocolate place there, and then we went for sushi, and that was supposed to be it for the date. But then Linda mentioned that she was actually going, during dinner, she mentioned she was going to her best friend's karaoke
birthday
party. And I was like...
And we were supposed to like end our date at that point.
So I'm just going to paraphrase this. She fit you in before a date.
Yeah.
You were
and
like,
then
you were
you
like,
had
a,
an
you were like, no, you were like a drive-by date, and also you were her. She had an escape plan already. So going yeah, into that date, I'm not feeling good for you, Drew.
No. But this is where I just forced my way
around,
in
didn't
there.
You turned so around. Let's hear about that.
She says, I have to head off to my best friend's. It's his birthday party, karaoke thing. And the moment she said karaoke, I'm like, I'm in. If she can hear me karaoke, she's gonna love me. She's gonna fall down on all four and just profess her love to me
on
at
all
that
fours?
Moment.
What the
yeah, that's
okay,
what I assumed.
Drew, you and I, just so you know, to be clear, we are polar opposites, because if there was a karaoke, even mention of a karaoke, I would leave. I would run, because I'd be like, he will never call me again if there is a karaoke. It's my actual like greatest fear.
See, you need to actually embrace that fear. One day you need to just get up there in front of a crowd of strangers and just belt it out. If I was to impress Linda, what song do you think I should have sang at karaoke? Because I guarantee what I sang was not what you expected.
Yeah, you think he's romantic, but...
So what you should have sang is something like...
I love you just the way you are.
Well, like Billy Joel, or you know, something along the sort of like a ballad, I would say. But instead, my guess is you sang Metallica.
No, even better. Do you know "Lonely Island"? Do you know "I'm on a Boat"?
Who?
I'm on a boat.
Oh, Andy Samberg.
Yeah, doing flips and shit. I sang that song, and I think
it's
I had
a rap from there. Song, right?
It's a rap. It is, and I'm not a good rapper, but I sang that, and then I got into Disney because Linda.
No, you sang Grease first. Olivia's part.
Oh God,
I do the falsetto very well.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we were stuck at the. We weren't stuck. It was actually really lovely, but we were at the karaoke bar by ourselves for an hour. Because my friend was so drunk that he went to the wrong bar. And then when he got there...
Gave me more time.
Yeah. Roger has no friends that would ever do that.
Yeah.
When he finally got there, my friend Rodney, he like shoved me into the corner and was like, "Oh my God, Linda, is this my birthday gift? Thank you so much."
Yeah, he thought
he thought
for
Drew
him.
Was his birthday gift.
That's
but I decided
amazing.
To keep him.
That's really cute, you guys. I have to tell you, we've heard a lot of first dates and like this,
well,
this
a lot
is
of
a
them,
good one.
No, but a lot of them, I mean, for the most part, so you had
it was
the karaoke.
That didn't end.
No, so you had the karaoke. Did you guys stay up all night talking that night? I mean, was there like a real like bearing of the soul kind of situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing for me is I am what I am. I am what you see. And so I never sugarcoat. And even on like a first date, you tell me, Linda, what you think, but I don't try and put on like a different persona of who I am. I am, this is me, love it or hate it. And so I made a fool of myself with karaoke. I goof off, but I got my first kiss at the end of karaoke.
Yeah, we did have our first kiss. Yeah.
There you go.
Because one of our kind of common threads in our podcast that we have found with people that really like fell in love and were the forever, it began with a date in some iteration that like didn't end.
And usually a mistake date. Like we were the only ones that showed up and we always like a wrong, it's always some sort of story where
it's like a happy accident.
A happy accident happens and then that happy accident sort of turns into something more.
Turns into like forever.
Yeah. That's how we found the real love stories on our show, which is...
Yeah.
But yours is even more funny.
Yeah.
We always say it was like the longest first date ever.
Yeah.
It just never ended.
But also, like what you're saying there too is it's because those mistakes, and when something happens that's not expected, it becomes memorable. And if something is just as you thought it would go, it was just a dinner and that's it or whatever, you're going to forget about it. But this made it unique that his friend didn't show up and that I got to karaoke like an idiot. And
Exactly
what happened to us.
And you didn't want to, like stop being with each other. And that was like sort of the thing. And personally, we love that whole thing. And I also love your height difference. It's kind of amazing. I do. Well, I'm very small too. I'm 5'3". I kind of lie and say 5'4", but I'm 5'3". And he's 6 feet and he seems like a giant to me. But then I see people like 6'4" and I'm like, all of a sudden he looks...
You're so tiny, Roger.
Sure.
I know. I'm like,
I can fit you
I'm
in
like,
my pocket.
I'm feeling very emasculated and only half a man. Just saying.
We always laugh because my older brother, JD... So Jonathan and I are both 6'4", and JD's the little brother. We make fun of him. He's the tiny brother, and I think he's 6'3".
I mean...
He's the little one.
So there's three boys?
Three boys, yeah. I was surprised.
I gotta talk to your mom, because I got two little... I have two boys, and I think boy moms, there's a real...
I think they'll be more vertically challenged.
There's a code and a club that we all, I think... I said I wanted to form, because I think it's its own special thing. I like to speak to boy moms.
There's something, I mean, I feel the stress of her, especially with how energetic Jonathan and I were growing up. But imagine this. So they had my older brother, and then they had Jonathan. They were told it was just going to be one baby, and I was a surprise. And so my mom thought she was going to have two boys, and it turned out to have three boys.
Oh, my God.
That's insane.
That was a surprise.
I still can't believe that.
Is your mom tall, or is she little?
She's tall.
5'8" Yeah, so she's
five, so she's tall.
Yeah, my dad's like over 6'2", so... Yeah, it's we're a tall family. Then you look at Linda's family; they're a short family. The tall one in that family is her sister at 5'3".
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm tall in your family. I like that.
You're
I
very
like that,
tall
because I'm never tall. So that actually makes me feel really special.
I'm taller than my dad.
Yeah. So both her dad and my dad walked Linda down the aisle at our wedding. We got married in Italy, and it was like a little like this sort of a level.
It was like the like in Lord of the Rings when they like play with the depth perception.
Yeah. So you,
to
you
create look at, the Hobbit.
My dad looked like the giant. And then there was Linda, and then Linda's dad was shorter.
I want to hear about your wedding, though. What's up with that wedding? I want to hear, because Italy, you know, we thought about, like, doing an away wedding, but because it was 400 years ago, we were just too busy. We were, like, young in New York City working our asses off, and my parents were determined to do, like, a big fancy wedding. In hindsight, we were like, God, we could have just gone to, like, St. Bart's and got married and, like, whatever. And so I really envy people who actually do it.
But
and,
before we get there, Rach, I think we got from, like, date
sorry,
one
I got
to
excited
the wedding,
about the Italy wedding.
But, like, so you started dating and you were both doing separate work. Can you explain, like, where you were professionally? Because I think at some point you started working together and, you know, we sort of had that situation.
Not from the beginning, but
no, same thing. It's like, oh, should we, shouldn't we? So it would be interesting. I think there are a lot of people out there that wonder, should they or shouldn't they? And it would be great
and
to
it's,
hear
And it's
hear
also
your
the thing we get asked probably the most is how are we married and work together?
Yeah, I was doing a bunch of odd jobs. I was working on, like, site plans. And then I was working with my friend at a telecommunications company. And then when we first started dating, because I was able to work from home, it was pretty much right away that I started, that we started working together, right?
Yeah,
like, I don't remember like an official start date, or like we didn't even have the conversation like, ooh, do we want to like work
just
together
sort of
as well?
Just like,
well,
hey,
well, I remember
Linda
went to school for architectural design. And so I thought, well, here I am, a guy in real estate and design. It makes sense that she could work with us. But then when Linda started working with us, we realized how creative she is. Like, she is a one woman machine when it comes to creativity. And so Linda ended up working in a completely different capacity. You know, we have a production company, a real estate company, we have our product lines. Linda actually was sort of a hand in all aspects, bringing ideas for campaigns, creativity, and new product development and show development. So it was really, really fun. But then we have spent half our life on the road, because we were filming in Austin or New Orleans or New York. And so very quickly, Linda uprooted from Toronto, and then she was on the road with me, which I had always been single, always. I had one girlfriend that was for a few months, but I really enjoyed my work and work, and I was always single. So for me, it was something very different all of a sudden, that there's this person I connected with like I've never connected with someone before. And almost right away, we start traveling together. So
that's fun.
I enjoyed it, but I mean, we look back now, and Linda and I laugh, we're like, it's kind of a crazy thing for Linda to do, just to get going on the road with some stranger that you had a little connection with.
But my thought was, the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work out, and I fly back. It's not like we're in a, you know, day and age where I would have to take like a ship back or whatever it is. Right. Like, you know, it's easy to.
We don't use airplanes.
On horseback.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have to
that
walk.
That was amazing.
You're gonna have to walk.
I just had the visual when you were saying that, and it made me laugh.
Like, Linda, we're in Atlanta. You have to walk home to Toronto.
But by the way, I think that's also some. I think we could learn from that. Linda was willing to take a risk for love.
Yeah.
And I think what I find a lot of people, especially when they get older, I think they get comfortable. They're afraid to take risks. And I think it shuts them off from those new people or new experiences.
I think the older you get that you're single, the more narrow-minded you are about acclimating to another person and their life and, you know, just kind of rolling with it. I've just found this with my friends that are not in relationships. The longer they go that they haven't been in a relationship, or the more independent they become, and the less flexible they become to sort of, you know, just kind of rolling with somebody else in different parts of their lives. And I think, like, this is so interesting because, you know, like I said, it's the thing that really fascinates people about us. And a big reason we started the podcast was because people are like, understand, you're together 30 years, you work together, you parent together. How does that happen? And I think for us, it's nice to meet other people that organically just kind of start rolling together and working together. Because for us, it wasn't like a conscious decision. My business got to be too much. And then ultimately, when we moved to LA after being here for a while, the reality of it is, being as close as we are, there weren't really decisions we didn't make together. And he was very involved in my business. And I was like with his in terms of like decision making and things like that. But ultimately, as my business grew from being a stylist into other things, like you said, Drew, with all these different sort of like extensions of the brand, that's I can't, I mean, me, myself, and I, that's not going to work. And he knew a lot about media and all these other things that it just made sense. And then we actually formally in like 2009, I want to say, started actually working together as partners, you know?
So but yeah, like, I mean, your experiences sort of really, it's like Linda and me too, our experiences and our personalities rounded each other out so well. You know, I have that sort of business side of things. Linda looks at every situation from a totally different lens than I do,
which
really opened up my eyes. And that's what we love about our podcast at home as well, is the conversations we have. It really helps us both sort of open up our eyes, look at things from a different perspective, and continue to grow together. And I could not imagine doing what we do without Linda by my side, because together we work so well together.
Yeah. And also I think that especially if you work really hard or a lot, you know, you find yourself separate all the time. And I think, I don't know, I think it's worth the, you know, the issues that have to come up that have to be resolved just by working together. I think it's, I think the trade-off's so much better because you get to just hang out. Like, business trips are great. It's like me and my wife, you know, like going to New York.
We don't have to separate, it's which fun. Is so
I
nice.
Think that, I think that adds, like we always say, and you use this word, like roll with me. Like Rach and I are always just like, we kind of just roll. Like we're in the summer, we're there, we're wherever we want, wherever you need to be, sort of, but
how
as
do you,
a family.
How do you find, so this is something that Linda and I actually find a little exhausting though, is we'll end up, and I'm probably the culprit, we end up always talking shop, even at the end of the night, instead of winding down, it's always talking business.
I tell Rach, I'm much better.
We are guilty of that for sure.
I tell Rachel to schedule a time with Dana, and she gets really mad at me.
And I'm like, don't, just
Rachel,
so you know.
Why can't we have a normal...
I refuse.
I'm like, you're my business partner. Why can't we have an actual business meeting?
I refuse. I just absolutely
instead,
refuse.
Instead, she has to torture me when I'm trying to watch football.
I mean, absolutely refuse to formalize the process. So I just won't. I'm not going to make an appointment with our assistant. I need to book...
What about this, though? Linda and I, you know, when we talk to our therapist, too, and we sort of... Like, it's such a good thing for us to always have a third person to run ideas by. At first, I thought about the romantic side of things. I want to schedule, like we would schedule a business meeting, I want to schedule our dates and our romantic time to like
connect. See, he would do that. He would do
that.
We
didn't think about that at the very beginning.
No, not at the very beginning, but just like a few years ago. And Linda was at first against it. She thought it was the least romantic thing out there. And I said, no, but you have to understand with our busy schedule, we need this or it's not going to happen. How do you guys deal with the romantic side of scheduling
your
life?
We go under the it's not going to happen because... I don't know. I don't think you would schedule a weekly date.
I've proposed. I'm definitely
that.
More impromptu. I would say I'm definitely more impromptu.
Which means it's never going
to
happen.
And I think, no. So here's the thing, Drew, to go to your question, actually, your original question is, I am very guilty of not shutting my work brain off. And definitely if I get him alone, like at dinner and like the kids are asleep, I'll want to run through like a million things. Because in reality, even though we work, especially over pandemic, both at home, but now he's starting to go back to the office, it's like I could literally not even pass him for 12 hours sometimes. And I have like 800 things I want to like spew out and go through. And I'm like, but wait, so what happened at the da-da-da? And at that point, he's so done.
It's like I've been talking about this all day and dealing with it all day. During the day, but now I do not want to deal with it. So if you want to deal with it during the day, let's talk about during the day.
I think the answer is, can I tell you something interesting? It was actually Tom Ford that said to me many years ago that the one thing when you do work together is how to constantly kind of deal with the challenge of turning it on and off. Because it's so instinctual to talk to your spouse constantly about, because it's so easy. It's like because when you work for yourselves and you're co-CEOs, ultimately the conversation will always turn to, you know, what's on your mind and like work and stuff. And the reality of it is, for me, it's very hard to turn it on and off. For him, it's definitely a little easier. He's always been better at compartmentalizing. But it's funny because sometimes I think a date night is actually like just us going out together, meaning like we'll be going to an event, a work event or this event or a birthday or whatever, but we're together. So to me, I'm like, date night, you know? And he's like, no. When do you and I go out to dinner alone? So for me, I mean, that's something admittedly Scheduling, probably not, but like something I would need to admittedly like think harder about for sure.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Most people don't want to deal with uncomfortable shoes. I personally feel very comfortable in heels, as we know, but I definitely know that's not the case for everybody, and I'm not exactly the norm. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about one of my personal favorites, Rothy's. The number one word Rothy's customers use to describe their shoes is comfortable, and I would 100% stand by that. They have a unique, seamless design that feels like walking on a cloud when you put them on. And unlike many shoes that prioritize comfort, Rothy's are incredibly chic. They're available in so many shapes, colors, and patterns, and they're fully machine washable. They actually are. I will tell you, I've encountered very few machine washable shoes, so this is honestly kind of magical. And you can feel great about choosing Rothy's because they are sustainably made with recycled materials like plastic water bottles. Now is a fantastic time to give Rothy's a try because they now have an exclusive autumn collection featuring washable merino wool styles for both men and women. Roger's honestly living for his new merino Chelsea boots and driving loafers, and to be honest, so am I. I picked them out for him. He can now be as comfortable as he wants without wearing embarrassing footwear. Embarrassing for me. So thank you, Rothy's, but don't just take it from us. Pop Sugar named Rothy's one of the most comfortable and cute flats you'll never tire of wearing. And Forbes calls Rothy's men's shoes a travel must-have. So be kind to your feet without sacrificing style by getting yourself some Rothy's. To help you welcome the fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something really special. That's right. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/zoe. That's rothys.com/zoe. Head to rothys.com/zoe to find your new favorites today.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
So how did you decide to pop the question? Who popped the question?
Yeah, Drew. So we were just working nonstop, and we had not had a date night in a long time. And Drew was like, okay, let's actually schedule a dinner. So we scheduled a dinner on, I think it was December 12th.
There's
oh my gosh, little, if I get this day wrong.
There's this little piano bar that she had, this little place that she wanted to go, and she's been wanting to go eat at. So I said, let's go there in Toronto, yeah.
And so like we had this lovely dinner.
Toronto. If you're making fun of Canadian or pretending to be a Canadian, you say Toronto. But if you're a local, Toronto. You say Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, so we had this lovely dinner, and then it was dessert time, our favorite time. And I had ordered a carrot cake, and instead of a carrot cake coming out, the server rolls out this like massive, tall, like three-tiered cake.
Have you ever seen the Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go? The mountain on the top with the character? I had created that in a giant cake, and the character was holding the ring on top.
Wait, wow. Literal so, Dr. Seuss? You actually had that's
I created
cutest.
That whole mountain as a cake. So
and I was just so confused and shocked. I'm like, well, this is...
So I'm gonna back this up.
Hold on.
You're like, waiter, where's my carrot cake?
Yeah, that's exactly
and
it.
No, Linda cake. A latte as well.
So just so you guys know, I designed the ring, the engagement ring and everything. I spent a lot of time. We were actually filming in New York, but things fell behind because I was designing and it didn't work out. So we were next location filming in Toronto. So it had been like, I had this ring for over 6 months and we're trying to find the right time. So anyway.
And you had friends, different friends. Holding on to it, right?
Because I figured Linda would find it if it was at the house. Anyway, so long story long. First off, it was the ring. I designed that ring to give her something beautiful that was customized to what she would want. Then I designed the cake because she likes Dr. Seuss and the stories, and so that cake looked like that. And then I wanted to sing a song and record a song so that it was something that would play when the cake comes out and when she sees the character holding the ring. So if you know the train song, Marry Me, I recorded that in a studio in New York. And then, so the whole, when we were at the restaurant, Linda didn't notice at first, but all the music that was playing, I had designed the entire track at the restaurant. So all
the
songs
were,
her playlist was all her favorite songs. And then when the meal came out.
And when we were having like conversations at the dinner table, Drew was like, oh yeah, good song. Huh? I was like, oh yeah, the playlist is so good. It's like, the music's amazing here.
And then
when I didn't catch on.
When that song started playing, it was me singing Marry Me. And then that cake rolls out. I'm down on one knee.
And she still didn't get it.
And she had no idea. She's like, I ordered carrot cake.
That's so Rachel.
This is amazing, Linda. We're actually very connected.
I would literally have to write a note. Like, I'm asking you to marry me.
Roger would be like, I'm proposing to you right now.
It was just so funny because then she saw me on one knee and then she's like, oh, and she gets what was going on. The saddest part of the entire thing was that being a technical guy, you know, I own a production company. I had our audio guys mic the table, and then I was wearing a mic, and then I had another, there were cameras around the room as well. Anyway, but the manager of the restaurant wanted to help set the mood. So after we set the lighting and checked everything, he turned everything all the lights way down for the mood. So in the video, it literally looks like I'm in a booth. You can't even see Linda. She's just black. She's void. And it looks like I'm in a booth by myself. And then the mic, I wasn't mic'd. Sorry, the table was mic'd. And they mic'd the wrong side. So the mic only picked up the awkward first date conversation of the people at the table next to us. Anyway, so after all this, Linda said, can we keep this? She said yes, thankfully.
Well, I said yes, yeah.
And then she's like, can we keep this just to ourselves for a couple of days? Because Linda loves to sort of savor moments. And
so
I'm
we
like,
were on our way after dinner. We were on our way to our
production
company Christmas party.
And so I said, yeah, we'll keep this to ourselves for a little bit. She didn't know. I flew in all of her family and friends from all over U.S. and Canada. Oh. I flew in my family and our closest friends. So the Christmas party was actually
our engagement
200
party.
Plus
oh my
of
God.
Our closest Aww. Friends and
Drew,
family.
This is
Drew,
wow.
What if she said
I
no?
Know.
I was going to be a really great farewell party. Yeah, so.
It felt like I died and had gone to heaven because the bar was so long and
as
narrow.
Long and skinny, yeah.
And, you know, every step we took was like, oh my gosh, so nice to see you. Like, what are you doing here?
Oh my God.
It was amazing.
That is
That's
really
a great
incredible.
Story.
Like, really, really incredible.
We could have gotten married just that day.
Yeah.
Isn't that
yeah.
so funny? Because those nights, sometimes like that was it. And you're like, honestly, we should have just done it here and now because nothing can ever top this. However, you did get married in Italy. So what is that?
Yeah,
even
it's
true.
And like,
how long
it.
After you, this engagement
Yeah, how long were you engaged?
Did you get married?
Was it
3 years?
3 years? I think it was three years.
Yeah, you had a long engagement. We did too. I loved being engaged. If my mom didn't push us down the aisle, we'd probably still
be engaged.
Yeah. Well, it was fun. So Linda was always, you know, we were saying like, we don't need to go over the top or anything like that. We'll just, you know.
I love backyard weddings.
Yeah, backyard wedding or something. Or that's what we said too, like getting away somewhere for a wedding just to have a couple of, you know, our closest family or friends. It just has to be small, whatever it is. And we're like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And so we ended up.
800 people later.
Cut to chartered 737 out of JFK with everyone.
Well, we ended up three. So we got married in Italy. It was in Puglia. So,
oh
and the place
God.
Is called
oh,
the Borgo Ignazia.
It's beautiful.
The Borgo is stunning where we got married. It's amazing.
It's such a dream.
But we ended up with 305 people came because our wedding planner and the experts at the hotel and everybody said, you know, you invite a bunch of people and less than a third will come because it's expensive.
No,
it's overseas.
True. You actually weed out your friends. When you do an away wedding, it's the best edit of your
Apparently,
friends.
Apparently, this was
it really is.
Too enticing this trip because
well, that's
nobody,
exactly it.
Nobody
it didn't
took
do
that
what
memo.
We thought. We invited, I think, 340 or 380 or whatever it was, and we ended up with 305, which is great. They came, but I invited people like anybody who was a part of my life that was important, I invited. So my elementary school teacher, my basketball coach from high school, all my best friends.
Drew is so, very inclusive.
Yeah, I was very inclusive. And then there's all my party. And then there's just Linda's family is big. And there's a lot of them. And then Linda's bridesmaids, she couldn't narrow down because she has 10 of the girls, they talk every day from high school.
Aww,
every day.
That's so
And so
sweet.
They were her 10 bridesmaids. Well, the girls and
Some of them,
her
yeah.
sisters.
Okay, so the podcast, you guys, so what's it like kind of working together? Like, what made you decide to do that? And do you feel like it's something totally different and separate than like your working relationship and other things that you do? Like,
well, there's more of a personal aspect to it, I imagine.
I find
right?
it a little oh, bit absolutely. Like therapy. I don't know about you guys.
100%. I feel like this is like therapy
yes.
right now.
Yeah,
yes.
totally.
Yeah. I find, so with, you know, Linda working as a creative director with the other aspects of our company, we've actually decided that she's going to focus, once we started At Home, she would focus over on At Home, because it is, it's not just our podcast. Like, At Home is a brand that we're growing to be inspirational, a destination for people to reconnect with their community, with, you know, in their relationships with ourselves, with their planet, and all the things that are important to us. And so it really has been an eye-opening experience to us, but it's helped our relationship dig deeper too, because a part of At Home with reconnecting with ourselves is helping us understand ourselves better, which makes our relationship stronger.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Too. I love the name.
It's definitely so personal.
Because I love the name, because At Home really means anything. Especially these days, by the way.
And it's so unique. Home for everyone is something different.
Yes,
and also,
it is.
We talk about our planet as the ultimate home for all of us. We're all family on this one big, beautiful blue planet.
The only luxury lifestyle membership you'll ever want is here. Meet Curator, the premier membership for shopping, access, and exclusive benefits created, of course, by me, Rachel Zoe. Each seasonal box features 5 must-have items that I curate especially for you that are delivered right to your door. With a guaranteed retail value of over $400 worth of fashion, beauty, lifestyle, and accessories in every single box. I know that everyone's personal style is a bit different. So when you become a Curator member for just $99, you can customize your boxes by selecting your own choice item every season. Let me tell you about the fall box, and here's why it's so amazing. Fall is by far my favorite fashion season, and no matter where you live, the weather can be a bit warmer. It can get really cool. I love California, very chilly nights, and I, for this season, put an incredible, exclusively made for Curator members only, Parrish poncho, and it is so beautiful. I live in mine, you will live in yours, and of course, a beautiful bracelet from Oma, the label, and the list goes on. It's such a special curation. I love it so much. Our feedback has been so incredible. I promise you, you will love yours, and just wait for holiday. It's so good. Curator is dedicated to bringing you chic luxury items perfectly curated to add style and value to your wardrobe and everyday life. Oh, and one other amazing detail. A Curator membership also comes with access to an exclusive e-commerce marketplace full of the most coveted brands at up to 60% off their retail value. Let me repeat that, because I literally can't even believe it myself every time I say it. 60% off, yes, 60% off luxury and designer brands. You will not actually believe it when you visit the shop. Join Curator and elevate your style this fall. And one final note, become a member today at curator.com and use code WORKS25 for $25 off your first box. My gift to you for joining our amazing community. That's CURATEUR.com. CURATEUR.com. And use code WORKS25. If you had to think about it, because this is kind of my favorite question, what do you think your like magic is? Like, what is the thing that makes you guys work? What makes it effortless? I think if a relationship is right, it's mostly effortless. There's obviously things that are challenging, but I guess my question is, what is your secret sauce? What is your magic that if you had to kind of think about like one thing, one thought, one concept that like makes you guys you?
Lindy, what would you say?
For me, I feel like we're both so curious about one another still, and that we like hanging out with one another. Like there are a lot of, sometimes I felt really like I shouldn't want to work with him and hang out with him and like, sure, just like be romantic with him,
sure, because
you know, there's so much criticism of like, oh, you should just be like an independent woman. Like, don't like always be with your man.
Girl, I'm with
you. But I'm like, but I love hanging out with him and I love working with him
all the time. Yes.
And I try and run away from her and it just does not work all the time.
She has that chain.
He also, just so you know, tries to be cool in front of other people.
I'm like, I'm going away for two nights. She's like, nobody believes it. You could do it in one. I'm like, but
that's true.
Yeah, so that's true. Hello.
That's what I like to be with him. I like to take him with me to things. I want to go to Paris with my husband, not with my girlfriend.
Which is a nice thing.
Sorry.
You know, it's a nice thing that you want to spend that time. I think the thing for me that was a big... Linda and I are very, very... We're polar opposite personalities. I am somebody... I like efficiency. I like a good speed. I'm a go, go, go kind of guy. Linda likes to take her time.
I meander. I'm a turtle.
Meanders and she's mellow. And so the one thing that was really important for our relationship, and again, therapy is something that we say to all couples, whether you're not even in a relationship, everyone on this planet should do therapy because it's just a great way to get more in touch with who you are and work through any sort of blocks. And so for us, the moment I started understanding that our differences are not something just to butt heads about and get frustrated about, the way we're different, we should celebrate. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us amazing, beautiful people. Mm-hmm. And it helped me understand how to communicate. And I'm always learning, but it helps me understand how to communicate more effectively with Linda. And this is the same with any relationships, work relationships, other family, other friends, understanding that we're all different. We have different personality traits. And then understanding how to communicate with somebody who has those traits. Otherwise, what I'm communicating is probably being picked up a different way than what I'm intending. Mm-hmm. And that always causes friction.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is the secret sauce? Did you answer that?
My secret sauce is that she makes me dress up as Magic Mike every other weekend and do a little dance.
Nice.
No. Communication and therapy.
You know, Raj and I always say, like, we're very different. You could throw us the same situation, we'll look at it totally differently. But at the core, we are exactly the same with, like, how we raise our children, our values, and all of that. Like, and I think that being different is actually really a key to success. You can't be the same and succeed, in my opinion. I've seen too many people that are, like, the same. It doesn't work.
Well, if you're the same, you kind of get competitive, I think.
Yeah. That's
you
what know,
you need your own lane.
If I was married to myself with long hair, I would drive myself nuts.
Yeah, right, that's the point.
Exactly.
No.
You know, you got to have the, you know, anyway, as we know, yin yang, all that good stuff.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last question. Where do you guys see yourself? What's the dream? Like
10 years, 20 years.
Or don't you think about it? Because I don't plan that far ahead. But
no,
some people
I mean,
do.
We think about these things and you know, then we see where life takes us because, you know, we have plans and goals that we've set over the years and it always ebb and flows. It always changes. And I think for the one thing for us is, you know, we want to have kids. We want to continue to grow in what we do in our brand and everything that we do together in a way that inspires other people or gives a platform to others to help change the world for the good.
So quick three rapid fire that Drew, you're going to answer for Linda and vice versa.
Okay.
Okay. My favorite, because it just is and I can't not ask it. Okay, Drew, if Linda's getting arrested for something, what is it?
Latching on and hugging someone and not letting go.
I love that.
So creepy, inappropriate woman?
Linda, I love you. Yeah.
Creepy, inappropriate
creepy
woman?
No, good I love for you. Her. Okay, Linda, what's Drew getting arrested for?
He would get arrested for standing up for someone else.
Aww. And like standing up too hard and loud. All right, your question, honey.
Oh.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, Linda eating as her last meal on this planet? What's the last food she eats?
Durian.
What's that?
Durian is the stankest fruit that you'll ever meet. It's apparently very nutritious for you, but it smells like...
Feet?
The butt end of roadkill.
Oh, like and you eat it?
Smells awful.
That's like cheese. Yeah.
It's a very acquired taste. Okay,
it's a Chinese thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's a tropical fruit.
Linda, what's he eating?
Drew's a simple man. Cheese and crackers.
Oh, honey, you would eat that.
I love...
any form of cheese and a carb, he's thrilled. Any form that it
like,
comes
like, that's
in.
My dessert. Cheese and crackers. Like a
cheese
fruit
and
not even fancy. Not even... Like saltines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me saltines.
Thrilled.
All right, Linda. If
they're not going to get stumped on it at all,
if Drew was a piece of furniture, what would he be?
It's actually a deeper question.
Well, that's why we understand it. That's why she's...
Does... Does a pillow count?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that would be an accessory.
He's very comfy.
It can be a piece of furniture.
He's very comfy.
Aww.
I would say if there was a piece of furniture that was almost like one of those mood rings, but also like an amoeba that changes shape depending on the mood of it and everything, that's the kind of chair she would be. It would change colors, shape,
so
texture,
basically
depending
something
on
how. Don't you feel like B&B or Mario Bellini probably did
no,
one
I
of those?
No, I think it's like, you're saying you could buy her a sharper image?
No.
Maybe. Possibly.
Brookstone.
Brookstone,
perhaps.
I know what he means.
Yeah, I think so.
Basically, like, she acclimates and she just becomes what you need her.
Shapeshifter.
She's a cozy love.
Always changing, always evolving.
Aww, I love that.
That's amazing.
See, Roger would be like
the
fireplace. Roger would be like the fireplace tool. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks. Apparently, I'm just stunted. So I'm not evolving.
Well, you guys, we loved having you on Works for Us. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot. You guys are awesome. We love meeting couples that work together, live together, breathe together, and do all the things together.
Can you be our guest every
bye.
Week,
bye.
Thanks,
same
bye.
Time, same place. Thank you. That was such an interesting episode.
I love the fact that we literally
didn't know them
at all.
I know.
And then
I knew like very little.
But isn't it amazing how we have so many similarities? I kind of felt like I knew them forever after an hour.
Yeah, it was very cool. Well, listen, I think at the end of the day, I think that entrepreneurs, I think couples that work together, we're finding more and more. There's a lot of
similarities,
threads and similarities.
And also they're in a creative business, you know? So like we're in a creative business, there's business, there's creativity involved, and like where's the balance, all that stuff that they have to deal with.
But it is a business. And I think that's something that is important to take away for our listeners is that like, no matter how creative you are, you have to have a profound understanding of business and how it works.
And also, I think,
but their story's so cute.
It's amazing, but they've also made sacrifices, right? So they obviously have success and you know, business success. And now, you know, there was a part of them that was like, you know, I kind of wish we got going in the family a little earlier.
Right.
So, you know, it's like with one thing open something,
yes,
you know, somewhat, I'm not saying it closes, but it's just like
it's a challenge.
Everything is a give and take, and you know, nothing's easy. I mean, that's really what I got away from. Like, he was like, he works his
ass off.
Yeah,
his butt
off.
Here's the thing,
they both do,
but here's the thing, I stand by, as you and I say on the regular, anything worth having you have to work harder for. You just do. The hard stuff requires more work, but it's way more rewarding when you get it. And I think that, you know, the misconception with, you know, what you see on the outside a lot of times is that people are like, it's so easy for them. Nothing is easy. And I think the more people you talk to, you know, that are in business, whether they're married or not, but partners, founders, co-founder, whatever it is, co-CEOs, the shit's hard and you got to work hard for it. And there are amazing wins and there are challenges. And I think Linda was very candid that, you know, they decided a little later that they want to start a family. And I don't think they thought, as many people don't realize, that it can be challenging, you know, to have children. So,
the other thing that was super interesting, I thought, is, you know, and her response was great. Linda was like, well, I figured I could always just go back home. You know, so she...
Right. That was interesting.
You know,
yeah.
I just love that. Like, you got to give love a little bit of risk. You know, there's a little bit of risk involved in love when you're outside of your comfort zone is sort of when you're most vulnerable.
You remember what got me down the aisle finally? We were ready to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled me in the
back
room.
In all her infinite wisdom.
In all my mother's infinite wisdom, I went from really wanting to get married to being terrified to get married because I was so obsessed with my career and I just couldn't figure it out and I couldn't wrap my head around it. But I knew I was going to marry Roger. It wasn't about that. It just, for some reason, all of a sudden, the notion of marriage seemed really scary. And literally on the day of my wedding, my mom pulled me in the bride's chamber. And she pulled me in there and I had this like really scary look on my face.
Rachel looked, and if you look at Rachel, our wedding photo, Rachel looks like she's like a lamb being led to slaughter. It's like you almost feel bad for her.
And she literally said to me, honey, if it's really bad, you can just get out. And I was like, oh.
That's what divorce is for, honey.
Like, I literally never thought about it that way because my parents are so happily married and I come from such like a happily married family. And I just, in my mind, it was like marriage is forever because, you know, it is the concept, I guess, right? It doesn't always work out, which is fine. But I think, she said that to me, but it was almost like you need your mother to point out the obvious sometimes. And she said that, and I literally got this smile on my face like, right, okay, let's do this. And I like went down the aisle, and here I am 30 years later, happier than ever.
Thanks, love.
With my babe. But, you know, I think it's just knowing sometimes that you can get out if you need to. It's just having the optionality.
Optionality. You know how I always say optionality.
How do you love optionality?
Oh, I love optionality.
I love optionality. Anyway, okay, so if you liked what you heard so far, please make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts and give us a rating, obviously a really good rating and review. And, of course, keep listening. Don't forget to check us out on our Instagram at works.for.us. Also, tell us your story. There's a Works for Us phone line that you can call to leave us a message with your very own relationship stories, and we're planning to share our favorites on the podcast. You can also ask for relationship advice, although we cannot stress enough, we are not actual experts, but we'll still take your questions. So if you want to share your story or ask us a question, give us a call at 657-549-2251. That's 657-549-2251. You can also find all of our contact info on our Instagram at works.for.us. Before we go, we want to leave you with a little highlight and lowlight from our week, because in relationships, the bad comes with the good. So this is our time to mention a little bit of both of those things. Babe, what's your high? What's your low?
Okay. So I am not really like, or I didn't think I was like the competitive dad, but I don't know. The highlight of this week.
Yeah, that was crazy, by the way.
The highlight of this week is our son, is playing.
Yeah, definitely ours.
Is playing flag football.
Or mine. Sometimes yours. I'm just kidding. Oh, he loves you.
My son loves me, so.
He does.
Chill.
Like, hi, daddy.
But anyway, so our older son plays flag football, and they played a team yesterday that was like twice their size.
Their size.
I kid you not. And everybody, including the coach, I think everyone in the entire field thought, oh my God, this is going to be a massacre. And you know what happened? Our team used their speed and their... I don't know.
What
is it?
Wait, no, wait. What's the, what do you say? They're small, but they're mighty.
Small, mighty. They actually
they won.
And it was not, and it was a really good game. It was like.
Was it 30 to 22?
Yeah, it was like, you know, with extra points. I mean, it was a really,
it was really,
a really
good,
good game.
And little Sky, I just want to say Skyler's not considered to be like a short kid. He's like, he's average, right? All I know, and I can't find it on my phone, but at one point he was doing the defense. In the front line, I mean, I don't know what it's called. I don't know any of the positions.
Defensive line.
Defensive line. And all of a sudden I turn around and there is a kid who I swear to God was at least a foot taller than. I mean, that kid was double the size
they
of him.
They all were.
He looked like a 12th grader next to a fourth grader.
Hold on, he was taller than the coach.
It was the craziest thing. I don't understand.
So what Skyler had to do is spin moves.
I go.
He couldn't go straight. He had to just do spin move.
But I had a full on panic attack. I was like, if that kid hurts my son, I swear to God, I'm running on the field.
Okay, a couple of things that, okay, so a couple of lowlights. Rachel was having trouble enjoying the game because she couldn't stop the fear that her son will get hurt. Out there.
Okay, but I think that's a sports mom like thing.
But
I think
Rachel,
we
it's
all
flag football.
It doesn't matter. I saw people falling. I saw a tackle snuck in. I saw a trip. I saw kids on the ground.
You know what, Rachel, though? You're insane. It was amazing. You gotta let boys be boys.
No, that is not true, because let me tell you something. When those flags come off, there is no more football in this child's life.
And the other low light, and it's not really my low light to really offer up, but...
It was not his low light. I know where you're going with this, and he did not say that he was mad.
Okay, so check this out.
He was a little embarrassed.
So Skylar's on the sideline.
Oh my God.
And Rachel goes out of the bleachers, walks to the sideline.
I haven't seen him all day.
To give him a hug on the sideline with like his football player dudes. And I'm like, Rachel, don't go. No, no, you can't do that. And she's like, I need a hug.
He was so cute.
And I'm like, oh God, don't do it. Don't do it. And then she did it. And
I didn't only do it once. I did it twice.
I saw Skylar like.
He hugged me back. He wasn't mean about it.
He wasn't mean about it. But then I talked to him afterwards. We talked to him. He's like, Mom. So embarrassing. You can't.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't terrible.
You know, he secretly really liked it.
It is true.
He's such a snuggler. He wasn't like really mad, because if I thought it was going to be like catastrophic, I wouldn't have done it.
It wasn't really a low light.
I was willing to take the risk.
I don't think it's a low light, but I just thought it would be funny to bring it to your attention that, you know, our children are growing up and you got to give them their, you know, their space a little.
Oh my God, I can't bear it. Okay.
What was your highlight? How amazing I am and how handsome I am?
No.
Oh, sorry.
So my highlight is, as many or none of you know, we have no family that lives in California. And when you have children, it makes it kind of a little bit worse. Because when you don't have kids, you're sort of like, we get to dictate our own lives and like be on our own and not like have obligations and whatever. And then like when you have children, it kind of sucks and you kind of wish your family was around all the time. And my nephew... who many of you know as at Luke Glassman, as Sean Levy said when he met Luke, he goes, oh my God, you're at Luke Glassman. You're a legend. Anyway, my nephew, is here visiting for the next 10 days. And my kids are like on the ceiling excited. I'm beyond excited because he's kind of my firstborn son and I love him very much. And just so you know, my sister's son, even though she's just a couple years older than me, is 24, 25. So he's a little bit like an uncle cousin to my kids.
Yeah, he's sort of like the older brother, uncle. Slash cousin.
And then a low light would be, I honestly don't know. I'm feeling very grateful these days. I don't really have one. Feeling like, I know, I don't really have one right now. I honestly don't. Like, I can't think of something that's really, really bumming me out right now.
Great.
Which is a good thing.
Let's move on then.
Feeling pretty good. I'm excited about a lot of work things we're doing and
great.
I don't know. I'm in a good place, babe. I love you.
Oh my God. Let's just end this right now.
I know. I take it back. I don't know what's gotten over me, you guys. I'm sorry. I take that back. Okay.
Take your temperature.
I know.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.